There's more than 5,000 migrants camped across that border, but hundreds of them rushed the port of entry yesterday. It began peacefully, but devolved into chaos when migrants became violent, throwing rocks at Border Patrol.
One of the groups that I watched, they passed 10 or 15 marked Border Patrol units walking west to east. Numerous uniformed personnel, as they were chanting, waving the Honduran flag and throwing rocks at the agents. If they were truly asylum seekers, they would have just walked up with their hands up and surrendered, and that did not take place.
Hey, walk right across. Why not just walk across? No worry. It's all open. It's all Trump's fault. Trump's created this crisis. Trump's enjoying this crisis. They were saying it wasn't a crisis 5 minutes ago. Now it's a crisis. 855-40-LAURA. We have a lot to get to. California, of course, ground zero. Daryl Issa is with us. Retired from Congress, replaced by a liberal Democrat environmental lawyer. California becoming, a lot of people think, irretrievably left-wing Democrat. How you turn that around, it's gonna take a while. It didn't happen overnight, but boy. Depressing for a lot of Republicans who saw California and especially Orange County as a place where conservatism and capitalism and belief in the rule of law were respected, and a lot's changed. Congressman Issa has an update for us on a number of topics, but we wanted to talk to him before he left Congress to find out, number one, before we get into what's happening with the subpoenas, try to get Comey to testify before GOP turns the gavel over to Nancy Pelosi. But what about this lame duck session of Congress, given this crisis at the border that we have right now? Congressman, it's good to have you with us. How does it feel to have that seat of yours going to a left-wing environmental lawyer? That must be lousy.
It hurts. For 36 years, 18 by myself and 18 by my predecessor, Ron Packard, the Carlsbad and Oceanside and Orange County have enjoyed conservative leadership, and we've been well rewarded with overwhelming majorities. But it has eroded over the last few years, and it was a district that Hillary Clinton carried by 8 points. So it was likely that if I left, that we were eventually going to lose it, and unfortunately, this was the year.
Let's talk about before we get into the Comey issue. What will we see from the GOP? And what do you guys have, 15 legislative days left? We got a real problem at the border. We need these laws changed. Who knows the next time GOP will even have control of the House of Representatives? We don't know. Could be decades. Could be 2 years, but it could be a long time.
You're exactly right, and there are a couple of things that need to be done, including funding the government for their into next year, and that may be the first point, is don't fund the government till January, 20th, and then let Nancy Pelosi decide the rest of it. Make a decision on a proper conservative funding for the remainder of the fiscal year through September of next year. Secondly, although we have X amount of legislative days scheduled, I think it's time for Paul Ryan and the leadership to step up and say, we're staying here until we get every piece of the agenda that we can to the Senate and passed into law. And if that means that on January 2nd, I'm standing on the House floor, that's fine with me.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, obviously. And you're outgoing, but for the number of days that you're here and you're representing the people of California and by extension the whole country, Congress, this has to be addressed. I mean, these asylum laws have to be changed. The wall's got to be built. All the things that have to be done, the chain migration, all this stuff has to be done. And as far as I can tell, Paul Ryan just has no desire to do any of it. Am I right about that? I mean, you speak truth to power here, Congressman. Is Paul Ryan going to move legislation and forget Mitch McConnell for right now because we can't deal with him until we have him on. But will that happen? Will we get the president's agenda finally after 2 years voted on?
Well, Kevin McCarthy has gone back and forth and told the president we're going to move these things. It is now the last few days to do it. But I'd rather, first of all, we have about a $4 billion difference between the House and the Senate on the wall, so we've got to get most of that $4 billion into a compromise and get it passed, hopefully all of it. But here's an example of something. You're familiar with how H-1Bs, these high-tech immigration or, visas are abused. We have had bipartisan legislation that could fix it. And we've had it for more than a year out of committee, and it's never even gotten a vote on the floor. And this is like the low-hanging fruit. This is the simple stuff. Compared to the chain migration problem or properly defining what we will do from a standpoint of people who are claiming asylum, you understand that the simplest thing for us to do is to say that we will, by definition, grant asylum to people who, for whatever reason, cannot get asylum closer to where they started from. The reality that Mexico is complaining that they may have to help assist 4,600 people for a month or two when we've already taken 22,000 people forever this year so far is a classic example of Mexico not stepping up to the plate. These Hondurans crossed into Mexico. They didn't ask for asylum there where they would have been safe. They're asking for an economic opportunity and an immigration path here, which really is the truth, that not just 90% who claim asylum are turned away because they're being false in their claims, but even the remaining 10% are choosing to come to an economic opportunity, not just to get away from violence.
Well, I think, again, the American people are, I think they're fed up. I think both parties are fed up. It's the folks who are funding these caravans and clearly want the crisis of the border to create a terrible narrative for Trump, because it's, you either just open the doors, he's hoping everybody can come in, or you basically have to stand firm at the border and say, this is our border. This is our country. It's our border. And you can't use kids as human shields. That's your risk. If you want to do that to a child, that's your responsibility. We don't want to create this, have this crisis continue, but you are creating it and stoking it. Until we take this seriously, it will get worse and worse and worse. And the fact that Congress had 2 years of the House and the Senate and did not move on this legislation, to me, is just there are moments where I say, why am I even in this business? Because it just seems at some point that if you don't have people elected to Congress who do what the American people elected them to do, it's just, what's the point of this? And I think a lot more people are going to take that attitude. But Congressman, you're exactly right.
And, the one challenge we have is that President Trump has been without the support he needs in the House, even when he had the majority.
Yeah.
And it shows. And a big part of our failure to hold some of our seats were Trump voters who didn't turn out, and they didn't turn out because they didn't feel like their member, their Republican member, had lived up to the promises that caused them to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, I could not agree more. We're talking to Congressman Daryl Issa here, retiring the Laura Ingraham Show, and of course, 49th District fell to a Democrat, as did all of Orange County, gone, which is a I work for President Reagan. It's just a heartbreak, complete heartbreak.
Well, I'm going to be working for President Trump in a few weeks or a few months, depending upon confirmation from the Senate. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the fact that President Trump may not have the House of Representatives. He may never have really had the Senate. But he gets up every day figuring out how he can fix the problems that vex America, and he's doing them even without the legislative assistance that he should have had the last 2 years.
Congressman, let's talk about what's happening with the Comey issue. And we had Dershowitz say yesterday, the day before, that it's going to be a devastating report, although not going to lead to any criminal charges against key figures, but it's going to be devastating for the president. I don't know. Does Dershowitz now want his friends back at Martha's Vineyard? I don't know what's going on with him, but I'm not sure what's happening there. But you want Jim Comey, especially, but others, to testify in a very short period of time. How likely is that to happen?
Well, Comey has been pretty clever at defeating Chairman Goodlatte time and time again, and so I wouldn't be surprised if at the last minute something comes up and then he looks and says, well, they really have no power to get me here, and if you want to hold me in contempt, that's great, because you guys will be gone and Nancy Pelosi will undo contempt. So I do believe he may slip through our fingers again, and partly because people waited too long. But just like Eric Holder, when you look at the actual actions, you find unethical and possibly illegal conduct by Comey, as you did with Eric Holder, as you did with Loretta Lynch. And that begs the bigger question for the president, both with his current interim or acting attorney general and with his final choice. Who is going to be put in as attorney general to drain the worst swamp in Washington, which is the fact that Department of Justice has become highly political and highly left-leaning, and there's no question at all that if we don't fix that, we cannot fix the justice system of America, and without justice, you don't have a functioning democracy.
And, Congressman, I think it's really important on a related issue to for the president to have an attorney general he can rely on and who's confirmed by the Senate, of course, and who is a presence, like a real presence on the scene. The same thing with the DHS secretary. I know you're going to be heading that trade agency and that trade group, which is so important, but we need people who can go on television and explain why these policies are important or why this effort to combat, whether it's cartels or you know, what have you, what, you know, bank fraud or other international conspiracies. I mean, I feel like the president's hamstrung because on those two positions, he doesn't have the people that he, you know, a permanent person at Justice and a DHS secretary who can, you know, be on television and be an active presence. Do you agree with me or am I overstating it?
No, you're stating it exactly right. There are some positions in government where you can be a quiet worker bee and it doesn't matter. We often look at the Department of Energy and say, you know, do you need a press conference at the Department of Energy? Well, the answer is not too often. But when you look at Homeland Security with people attacking our borders, when you look at the Department of Justice that has worked to the detriment of the American people time and time again, you need leaders that can turn those organizations the right direction, and then they need to be able to explain it and explain it in a straightforward way the American people understand. I'd add one more, which is right now, as we get ready to do a census that will determine who the true legitimate residents of our country are, we are faced with a lack of leadership there. That's a position that hasn't been appointed and confirmed, and it's got to both do the job competently, and somebody at Commerce, and I don't care if it's an undersecretary, but somebody's got to be able to communicate to the American people the importance of an honest census, something that is enshrined in the Constitution, but also determines who actually gets elected to Congress, what the districts look like, what all kinds of things are. And, you know, having headed a committee that oversaw that in the last census, I've got to tell you, I'm scared that we won't communicate the American people. They'll accept the left's mantra about the census, and they won't understand that getting an honest census means knowing who is legally here and not, who's a resident and who's not, who's a citizen and who's not. These things matter.
Yeah, that's really important, and I'm going to help ring the bell on that particular issue. And I've been remiss in not talking about it, but you're just giving me a good idea. So,
Covering the New York case where they're taking on Commerce for just having the audacity to ask whether somebody is not whether they're legal or illegal, but whether they're a citizen or not, so we can determine the number of citizens. You know, it's absurd, you know, for the Democrats, I think they would let an ambassador from Russia vote as long as he promised to vote Democrat.
No, exactly. That's a great point. No problem there whatsoever. Keep it going. Congressman, thank you so much. And thank you for your service in Congress for all these years. And we look forward to having you on in your new position as well. We're going to take a break. Congressman Darrell Issa on The Laura Ingraham Show.
The Laura Ingraham Show.